with me in Acts chapter 14. If you'd like to
turn and read along with me, Acts chapter 14. I just want to reemphasize how exciting it was Thursday night for Gino and Lisa and Sophie Giovinca to be baptized into Christ. And so excited to have the year start off in that positive way. And so appreciative of all of you who've played a part in their coming to know the Lord more and to be baptized into Him. I thought I would begin this morning by sharing with you something funny that happened on New Year's Eve. So I was watching the clock like you do on New Year's Eve and sent some friends over to the house with me. And I noticed that it was getting close to midnight. So I turned on the television to the Dick Clark New Year's Eve special. And when I did, I noticed that there was a group on the show of K-pop. So I texted Cynthia Jennings, who I knew was a big fan of K-pop. And I said to her, "Hey, your band is on the Dick Clark show." And she responded to me, "Who's Dick Clark?" So then I realized we've got a generation gap communication problem here. Now, just out of curiosity, how many of you here do know who Dick Clark was? Raise your hands. All right, so there's quite a few who do not. So Dick Clark hosted a show called The American Bandstand for many years. And then he also became famous for hosting a New Year's Eve countdown special that, even though he has passed away, is still named after him. All right. So I said to her, "Your band is on the Dick Clark show." She said, "Who's Dick Clark?" I explained that. And then she said, "Which band?" And I said, "You know, K-pop." Because I didn't know that K-pop is not a band at all. It's a genre of music. So I said, "You know, your favorite band, K-pop." And she said, "But which band?" So I now know that I basically said, "You know, your favorite band, country music, is on the Dick Clark show." So I have ruminated over that exchange over the last few days. It was pretty funny. So she had to explain to me what K-pop meant. I had to explain to her what Dick Clark meant. But with good communication, you can transcend even a big generation gap like that. Well, there is a sort of a serious reason to tell you all that story. It just illustrates the importance of communication and how challenging communication can sometimes be. And that's one of the reasons why, for a very long time, the overseers of this congregation have set aside time every 3 months to meet with you and talk with you about the affairs of the church. And tonight is once again time for one of our congregational meetings. You know, if you have worshiped elsewhere, that there are not many elderships that are as open and transparent and communicative with the congregation as our eldership is. So I hope that you'll make plans to be here for a congregational meeting tonight. But I thought that before we had our meeting tonight to look forward to our plans for this year in 2020, that we'd take some time to look back on 2019. And the scriptural precedent, I think, that we have for this is found here in Acts chapter 14. This is halfway through Paul's first tour of preaching. He's come to a city called Lystra, and in verse 19, the text says this: "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they have believed." I love this passage in Acts because it is one of those passages that in a very succinct way summarizes what our mission is, just as this was the mission of the Christians of the first century. Our mission is to make disciples, to invite people to come to Jesus and then to help one another become like Jesus. That's what it means to make disciples, and that's what we see taking place here in Acts 14. If you go to the very end of the chapter, Paul and Barnabas make their way back to their home base. In Acts chapter 14, they go to the city of Antioch, and in verse 27 it says, "When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." They declared all that God had done. Those of you who use most other translations, like the New American Standard or New King James Version or NIV, your translation says that they reported all that God had done. For some reason, it sticks out in my mind, the old King James Version said they rehearsed all that God had done. You know, I kind of like that, actually, because like when you rehearse, you go over something that you know, but you're trying to go over it again to remind it and impress it on yourself. And in the same way, when Paul and Barnabas returned from this preaching trip, they rehearsed, they declared, they reported what had been done on this previous trip. Now, years before I came here, my predecessor and mentor and dear brother in Christ, Marty Pickup, began a custom, not long before he passed away, of beginning each year by reflecting back with a review of the previous year. When I came here, several of you mentioned that to me and asked me if I was going to continue doing it, and to be honest, I didn't, because I had no idea how to do it. But I decided maybe since, you know, we're in a new building and kind of turning over a new leaf, so to speak, that maybe it was time to try to give it a shot. So I went back to the website and listened to a couple of Marty's lessons where he did this year in review. And so I'm going to try to resume that tradition today and take some time with you this morning to do what Paul and Barnabas did here as they rehearsed all that God had done with them. So even though I'm going to talk about this past year, I want to make sure we understand that when I talk about what we have accomplished, what I'm really talking about is what God has accomplished. Jeremy asked me today if there were specific songs that I thought would go well with this lesson, and I told him, quite honestly, anything about the grace of God would work. And I got to tell you, Jeremy, this entire song service was just wonderful. You did a great job picking out some glorious hymns that help us to celebrate the grace of God. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what God has done among us. So what I thought I would do is frame this time of review and reflection together around our theme last year. Our theme last year, of course, was rise up and build. And the reason that the shepherds of the congregation picked this as our theme was because of this construction project. Because as important as this project was, we did not want it to swallow up everybody's attention and energy. So the elders felt like a really good way to keep us mindful and focused of the work of spiritual building during this time of physical construction was to pick as a theme to rise up and build. And then, of course, what we did is then in each quarter, we chose to do a specific emphasis of what it is that we should build together. And so in our first quarter this past year, we focused especially on building up one another, building up each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. You can see here in Acts chapter 14, that is a key part of the work that God has given us to do. Do you notice that when Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, it says in verse 22, they strengthened the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. That's just another way of saying build up. By the way, I can't help but point out that they are returning to the city where Paul was stoned and left for dead. I've not been mistreated very much in my time as a preacher. I was fired one time from a little church out in the country. Some story I'll tell you some other day in time. But I've never gone back there. And all they did was, to me, was say, "Don't come back here and preach again." That was enough to keep me away forever. Here, these people tried to kill Paul, and he was still committed to go back to that same town. And the reason he did is because there were Christians that had been left behind who needed to be built up. So this is a part of what we wanted to focus on this past year. Some of that was through our class in the first quarter in the adult class, where we studied Ezra and Nehemiah, and we talked about the work of spiritual building, and then used that as a springboard to talk about the deeper lessons of spiritual cooperation we needed with each other. And I think that the desire to focus on spiritual edification, on the spiritual health of our congregation, is one of the reasons why in this past year we had several brothers and sisters in Christ who asked to be a part of our work. Now, I'm going to give some names today. I apologize if I left any out. I did email you all to ask you to help me to be refreshed in my memory of these names, but I nevertheless do apologize if I've left anybody out. But Jack Beverly and Chris Hill, Dave and Aubrey Stinson and their kids Sonora and Logan, Willie and Verdi, was it this past year that you all officially became members? I thought so, but I wasn't 100% sure. And then Michael and Lauren, where are you guys at? Was it this past year you all officially became members with us? Very good. And then, of course, Dana Bennett with us. And having you guys come and be a part of us may not be as exciting as the news that we just had three wonderful baptisms on Thursday night. But remember that disciple making is not just about bringing people to Jesus. It is also about helping one another become like Jesus. And so anyone who makes the difficult decision to leave where they were and come to be with us, we want to encourage you and help you to grow in Christ just as you help and encourage us to grow in Christ. And having you come and be with us certainly helped to ease the sting of some of our members who've moved away, like Donna West and Lisa Farrar and Patty Alvarez. We just want you to know that we are glad to have you with us. And of course, the single largest group of incoming Christians who have come to work with us are our college students. It's hard to keep track, you guys, because you have overwhelmed us, which we are so grateful for. It's a wonderful problem to have. By official count, I think that 29 of you have identified with us, but many more of you have been coming to be a part of our assemblies. I know that at a couple of points this past year, we've had over 55, 56 college students in our college class. And then a great blessing from that is some of you who initially came to us as college students have now finished school, and you are now grown-ups. No offense, those of you still in college, and you've got jobs, and you're moving on with life, and you are with us now just as brothers and sisters in Christ on a regular basis. People like Cassie Miller and Jackson Sneed and Abigail Offord. And that is one of the sweet aspects of having college students come and be with us, to develop relationships with you that span your years in school, but are somewhat distracted because you're so busy and you're so tied up with things at school. But then when you reach that point where you get through with school and you get on with life, and then our relationship can grow much deeper and richer, that's really a special blessing. Now, I realize that all of our students come from one particular school that is over in Temple Terrace, Florida. But, of course, some of our college students go to school elsewhere, like USF or Hillsborough Community College or other schools. Some have gone to technical schools or trade schools, like Zach Colgrove and Maddie Colgrove and Logan Mullins. And we're very proud of you all as well. And for some of you who have finished your trade school and you're already working in your career and making a living, like Logan and Zach and also Nick Martin, we want you to know that although you're college age, we realize you're not in college, but we're very proud of you and your commitment and determination to work hard and make the most of the talents that God has given you. Just to summarize, we've had a wonderful year this year of brothers and sisters who've come to be a part of our work. Well, in the second quarter, we wanted to focus on building up the church in terms of specifically the work of evangelism. That is, of course, how this passage started in Acts chapter 14. It says in verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples. That's our business, right? That's what Jesus gave his disciples the commission to do, the task. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that is an aspect of the Great Commission that you can see here in Acts chapter 14 that Paul and Barnabas and the other Christians are busy and engaged in. This year we've had several baptisms. Some of these baptisms have been of children of our members here. Eric Nething's daughter Emma, and Dylan Almeida, and Lydia Franklin. Those are the three that I was made aware of our kids from right here, local and homegrown, who have become Christians. And I want you to know that we are thrilled that you've made that decision. And as I have said to you all many times, so many times you may think I'm a crazy person who's seen Alan just repeats himself, but it's because I believe it so much. If all we did as a church was just keep our kids faithful to the Lord, raise up our children to come to love Jesus Christ and follow him, if that's all we did and we didn't convert anybody else, I would be ecstatic. Because I think the times are that dark. I think circumstances are so severe that if we just accomplished that, quite honestly, we would be far ahead of the game. We're just blessed, though, that there have been other people that have become Christians. For example, Stephanie Kittleson, who's one of our college students, but like Christy, waited a little bit longer to make the decision to follow Jesus. Some of you know that our good brother Phil Hunt is involved in regular prison ministry, and there was one prisoner reported in the bulletin that Ed, by the way, combed through to help me pull together this information, who became a Christian. And then, of course, we've had a couple of people who were not related to anyone here in the congregation, but through friendships and contacts and studies have become Christians this past year and are now with us, like Mia and also like TJ. Bill and Carol moved here, and Carol and I studied, and she realized that she needed to be baptized. There was a young man named Hayden Festerman, who was baptized earlier this summer but moved away. That's just wonderful, and I'll tell you what is great about all of these baptisms. To me, what is great about them from the viewpoint of the preacher is, other than just a couple of studies with Carol, I had nothing to do with any of these baptisms. This was all work you've done. This was all teaching you've done, whether in your families or just as a disciple of Jesus Christ, helping others to become Christians. And the reason I think that is so important is because we have too many people here and too much talent here for this congregation to ever be a preacher-centric congregation. There's so much more that can be done here just besides one person. And I hope you all understand that all of you are participating in an important way in the work of the Lord. Now, of course, we can't just focus on baptizing people. We want to help people become like Jesus and to grow in the faith. So our third quarter focused on helping us to grow deeper and more mature in our faith in Jesus Christ. Did you notice here that in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, it says that on the return end of this trip, when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They've already believed in the Lord, but now these people needed to be committed to the Lord to grow deeper in their faith and commitment and determination to follow Jesus Christ. So we've done several things this past year to help encourage us as individual disciples of Jesus Christ to grow deeper in his faith. In the third quarter, we had a class on the basics of the Christian faith, like God and the Trinity and the incarnation and atonement and conversion and the church and then the end. We also had several special assemblies together, a teen weekend in April, our vacation Bible school in June, our meeting in November, which we all thoroughly loved as a great way to cap off the year and our theme. In addition to that, there have been several outside studies. Last year, I taught a small book club on the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. The ladies have organized Bible classes outside of our regular assemblies here. There's only one glaring omission that I've noticed. Guys, you're not doing squat about this kind of stuff here. Maybe we need to pick up the pace here and take the lead from some of our good sisters in Christ and realize if we're going to grow deeper in the faith, we're going to need more than just a couple of hours here at the building. Maybe some enterprising brother here could organize some studies for our men here. Let me apologize for that impolite phraseology I used just a second ago here. All right, get with it. All right, so also, at the end of the third quarter, Brother John took over the adult class for me so that I could shift over and so we could have a college class. On Wednesday nights in the college class, it just kind of started really as a lark. On the first Wednesday we were together, I said, just so that this class will have some relevance for you, if you've got a question, just a random Bible question, bring it and we'll talk about it on Wednesday. And that started what we called the random Bible question of the week, which is how we began every Wednesday night study. And while there are so many different aspects of the work that God has given preachers to enjoy, and I really do enjoy being able to be supported to do what I do, I don't think I've ever done anything in a congregation that I enjoyed more than those times we spent talking about those questions. They were challenging. It really helped to keep me on my toes. They were thoughtful and reflective questions that made me embarrassed to think about what I was like in college compared to what you all are like in college, how smart you are, how savvy you are, how thoughtful you are. And especially that last Wednesday night we were together in class and some of the things that we had a chance to talk about, truly the questions that you all asked were far more interesting than anything I planned to talk about in class. So I just wanted you all to know how much I really love you and how much I particularly love that part of class. And there was a bigger point to doing that than just simply the specific questions. We as a congregation want you to know, and this is true for everybody, it just so happens that in the college years, this is when it particularly seems to spring up. But if you're someone who has questions, if you're someone who has doubts, if you're someone who feels uncertain about things, we want you to know that you are in a place where you are welcome and when you are loved and you are free and you can feel comfortable to ask anything, to express any doubt, to share any concern you have. And know that that is a part of doing what these people were doing here, to be encouraged to continue in the faith. So thank you for that special highlight for me as a teacher of the Word of God. Well, then our fourth quarter this past year was focused on building up our families in particular. Dean taught the adult class in the auditorium on the family with contributions from others like John and also Ronnie, which we all really appreciated. Now, of course, speaking of our families, I know that some of you had some losses this year. Again, I'm especially apologetic if there were members of the congregation that passed away this year that I could not remember. I racked my brain. I went back through files I have on funerals that I do, and I could not remember any. But if I have overlooked someone, I am so sorry. Please, please let me know, and I'll be sure to mention it tonight or get the word to the elders tonight for the congregational meeting. To be quite honest, considering all of the losses that this church family has experienced over the last several years, it was a welcome relief not to have so many pile up as they have in previous years. Nevertheless, I think there are some people that we would want to make comment about. As we know, Jeremy's dad unexpectedly passed away. Miss Sue's sister passed away. Linda Mullins faced the double whammy of losing her dad and an aunt just within a few days of one another. And a former member here, Jerry Finley, unexpectedly passed away, that many of you all knew as well. And on the other side of the spectrum, there was one birth, I think, Again, I went through the directory. I kept trying to think, was there anybody else born? But the only one that I could find, but certainly worthy of celebration, is Cole Jackson, who so far has greeted the preacher with extreme indifference, much like his dad. So I'm going to work on that this year and see if I can't have a breakthrough with Cole and at least elicit one smile from him. But we are so grateful for that. Now, at this point, I think I do have to say something. In listening through Marty's year in review presentations, I noticed that he strongly encouraged our young couples to have children. And I feel like I have done a disservice because we only had one baby this past year in the congregation. So I'll just simply echo what my dear brother Marty Pickup said and strongly encourage our married couples here to be obedient to the scriptures that say to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth so that we can help rejoice with you as you bring new family and new people into our midst to encourage and to support. As I spoke about in my one class on being single in our class on the family, there are increasing numbers of us who are single for various reasons. And there are some of us, especially here in this congregation, who do not have much family here. Some of you have gigantic tribes in this congregation. Others of us are very much isolated and alone. And I can only speak for myself, but I think that I speak for many others as well, when I thank you for embracing us as a part of your families and showing us love and attention and kindness that helps to take some of the sting away from some of the loneliness that we feel. Now, I know that there are many of you who are facing challenges. I don't know all of you who are. That's just kind of the nature of being a large group of people. I know that some of you face, and some who are listening by way of the live stream or watching by way of the live stream, face cancer and other ongoing chronic illnesses which are debilitating. Some have struggled from emotional challenges. Others of you have suffered from heartbreak in your family. And while I was kind of joking a minute ago when I said I would never go back to a church where the people in the town tried to kill me, like Paul does here, just imagine the impact it would have had to be a member at the church of Lystra, knowing what the people of the town had tried to do to Paul, and then have Paul come back to your city and say what he says here in Acts 14 and verse 22, saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Our Lord has made no secret to us that the path of following Jesus Christ is a path of suffering. We are not going to be kept immune from the sufferings of this life, just the general course of sickness and sorrow that faces all of us. But then on top of that, as those who have been committed to become disciples, followers, people who are going to follow Jesus, the cross-bearing, crucified, dying Christ, then we realize that we are also making a decision to follow him in suffering as we await the glory of the kingdom of God. This past year, we have been blessed with numerical growth, with spiritual growth, with a wonderful new facility. We have much to be grateful for to the Lord as we today rehearse, declare, and report all that God has done with us. Let us pray that he will continue to open doors of faith, as it says in Acts 14 and verse 27. And I personally am very excited to think about what could potentially be the case when, Lord willing, I stand up here about a year from now and I report or declare on all that God has done for us in the year 2020. Now, having said all of that, I fully understand that you individually may have had a very challenging and very tough year in this past year. And it may be the case that a part of the reason for that is because your walk with Jesus Christ has not been faithful and dedicated and commitment and committed. So this is a wonderful time for you as a follower of Jesus Christ, as any day is, to make the decision to realize that what will change in your life is not a turn of the calendar or a move of the hand of the clock, but what will create a new life for you is a decision to turn your heart back to Jesus Christ and to follow him with greater fervor. And if you are not a Christian, we would love this morning to help you come to know Jesus Christ more personally, that you would make the decision to place your faith in him and follow him in his story, that just as he was dead, buried, and raised, that you in baptism by your faith in Christ can be put to death, raised again to new life. If we can help you do that today, let us know while we stand and sing together.